everyone, and thanks for tuning in to Beats Research Radio, a podcast and YouTube channel which aims to disseminate science to the community. On this week's episode, in light of Heart Valve Disease Awareness Week happening from September 12th to 18th of this year, we will be highlighting heart valve disease, which has been termed the next cardiac epidemic. We are honored to have with us Dr. Masika Zaitoun, Chairman of the Canadian Cardiovascular Society Working Group in Valvular Heart Disease, as well as Sharon, the current project manager, and Chris Honegger, Will Power, and Paul Beach here with us to highlight their stories and what more needs to be done to address the current gaps in heart valve disease care. To begin our conversation, Dr. Masika Zaitoun, for those who may not know, can you please share with us more information regarding what valvular heart disease is and its current diagnosis?
Sure. So first, valves are structures within the heart. They are mobile structures and they are opening and closing at every heartbeat. So we have four valves, two on the right side, two on the left side. On the right side is the tricuspid and pulmonic. On the left is the aortic valve and the mitral valve. And a valve can dysfunction two ways. It can not open very well, what we call stenosis, or it cannot close very well, what we call regurgitation. The two most common valvular heart disease are aortic valve stenosis and mitral regurgitation, which are on the left side. As you mentioned, valvular heart disease are very common, and prevalence or the frequency increases with age, and we know that our population in Western countries are aging. We estimate that the prevalence of significant valvular heart disease above 60 years of age is around 5 to 10%, and above 75, it's even higher, between 20 and 20%. So it's really the next epidemic. So when you have a valve dysfunction, it creates turbulence or noise within the heart, and that's how we diagnose that. When we do auscultation with a stethoscope, we hear a murmur. But to confirm the valvular heart disease, we need to do an echocardiogram, an ultrasound of the heart, and this test will confirm that the valve is dysfunctioning. It helps us to assess the severity of the dysfunction, as well as to assess the consequences of the valvular dysfunction on the heart, like function of the pumping, enlargement of the cavities. What is also important to highlight is that we don't have any medical therapy to prevent the progression of valvular heart disease or to slow down the progression. And the only treatment for valvular heart disease that we have currently are intervention, can be done by surgery. Usually it's open heart surgery, but we have now less invasive techniques that we can use, like a stent for the groin, what we call transcatheter therapies.
Thank you so much for giving us this brief introduction on valvular heart disease. And as you mentioned, this disease can happen to anyone. And we have with us three individuals who have experience with heart valve disease themselves. So I'd like to ask, can you share with us a story of your diagnosis? So Chris, do you mind starting us off, please?
Sure, no problem. My issue was discovered, I was asymptomatic. It was discovered almost by accident when I was in my mid-50s, I guess. I was in there. I had to go and see a cardiologist about something that was sort of unrelated, but we had to make sure. They did an echo and discovered at that point that I had a bicuspid valve as opposed to a tricuspid valve. And at that point, I was at about 75% of efficiency with regards to how the heart was working. And they said, since you're asymptomatic, we'll just sort of let it go and keep a close eye on it. So kept an eye on it. And then finally last year, I was having symptoms and wasn't feeling well and checked it out. And I was down about 50%, maybe a bit less. And then it was decided time to fix it. So I had a valve replacement on December 17th. And it was actually, it was pretty amazing. I was in there on a Friday morning and out on a Monday afternoon and came home, slept a lot, walked a lot, was skiing in a month and back to work in a couple, and it's all good. So I feel pretty lucky, actually, I have to say.
Thank you so much for sharing with us your story. And now, Paul, do you mind sharing with us yours?
Sure, yeah. My story starts in Swiss Falls here. I had moved here in January of 2021, had to get a new doctor because I moved, you know, 5 hours away from Kitchener where I was living before, and went in for my first physical with my doctor, and she noticed a heart murmur. And she said, I want to get you booked into a hospital here for an echogram to see what's going on. So I got the echogram done. It was about a month after she noticed the murmur I got in. And she called me the same day after the echogram and said, we need to really look at this. There's, it looks like you have something going on with your valve or something's going on. So that's when she booked me into the to the Heart Institute in Ottawa. I think it was about a month later, I went in there and got all the tests done, the echogram and the chest x-ray and the blood test and the EKG. And right after that, they said, yeah, you definitely have an aortic valve stenosis. That's what they determined that I had. So I was on a waiting list, I guess, to get it done. I went home, was on a waiting list. 30th of August, I remember the day. I just got a puppy about 3 months before. He needs about 45 pounds. I had to pick him up and put him into the cage at night. I did that and went back to bed. I sat on the edge of the bed, and the next thing I know, I was laying on the floor. And like I woke up, and my son was over top of me trying to figure out what happened, right? So we called an ambulance, got me to the hospital. That moved up my surgery date. So, well, let's see. Would have been the Thursday. I took a patient transfer to the Heart Institute. And by the Tuesday, the day after Labor Day, I was in at 7 o'clock in the morning getting my aortic valve replaced with a mechanical one. Yeah. And it went well. I was in Tuesday, had the operation Tuesday, and I was out the following Saturday.
Thank you for sharing with us your story, Paul. And for Bill, do you mind sharing with us yours?
No problem. My story is quite similar. I noticed that over the year since COVID started, I was progressively getting more tired and winded, and I had the symptoms of chest pain. And my doctor retired in June of 21, and then because I hadn't seen him because of COVID, and then by luck I lucked into getting another doctor who insisted on an in person, and that's when he found that I had a heart murmur. And I went off for the echo, and it was diagnosed as, when it came back, severe aortic stenosis. So after that, I didn't do any more cutting of wood or anything physical that, I couldn't even walk a flight of stairs without getting winded. So I was close. So through the good team at the Ottawa Heart Institute, did all the testing, and mid-December of last year, I had the TAVI procedure, which I was in Friday, out Saturday, and my life turned around, and I'm very grateful and thankful for the team at the Ottawa Heart Institute.
Thank you all for sharing your stories of your diagnosis and experiences. So now, lastly, for our last final question, I'd like to open the floor for a more general question on what everyone thinks can be done to improve the diagnosis or care for heart valve disease in Canada. But Sharon, as the project manager at the Canadian Cardiovascular Society, you have worked many hours to raise awareness for heart valve disease. Do you mind starting us off if you have any ideas?
Yeah, so the Heart Valve Disease Awareness Week really aims to raise awareness around valvular heart disease. It is serious, as Dr. Masika explained at the beginning, but it is treatable. And these three men are a testament to what early detection and timely intervention can lead to. So our main message is, if you are 60 years and older, to advocate for a stethoscope check, especially if you are feeling any of the symptoms, such as chest pain. Mm-hmm.
I think the three stories we have heard are illustrating the key points of what we need to do and to improve. First, as Sharon mentioned, it's critical to have a regular check of your heart with auscultation. As we have seen, COVID has made things even more complex, but it's critical to have an auscultation done for every patient more than 60 or 65 years old to assess for the presence or not of valvular heart disease. A second important thing is a recognition of symptoms. So symptoms for valvular heart disease are non-specific, can be shortness of breath, chest pain, palpitation, dizziness, fatigue. But it's very important when you have these kind of symptoms to be aware that it may be a valvular heart disease problem, that you need to have cardiac check, and including an auscultation if needed. And what is very important is that we should not attribute these symptoms just to aging or to age, but we need to do our due diligence and to assess for valvular heart disease. And as Sharon mentioned, they are severe conditions. If you don't treat them, it can lead to death. And one of our patients had a syncope. He was very lucky to wake up, but we know that if we don't perform a timely intervention, it can lead to serious condition, including sudden death, heart failure, and arrhythmia.
And in terms of, for Chris, Paul, Bill, if you had any words of wisdom or advice for friends or family or just members of the general community, what would you tell them from your experience?
I would tell them that if you can't walk a couple of flights of stairs without getting winded, you need to get checked. Because that is the first thing that I noticed that I couldn't. I live in a building with five flights of stairs. And sometimes the elevator is out, and I couldn't walk two flights without having to stop and rest. So you can't walk stairs, you get checked.
I agree with Bill. Get checked every anybody over 50, really. I'm only 56. It happened to me. So, you really got to get it checked out every year. Make sure you go to your doctor.
Yep, for sure.
Absolutely. When I got when I was diagnosed, I was asymptomatic. I had no idea. So, and it was discovered with the echo. So, pretty important to get checked out. It's good to know at the time that I had this this condition, and at some point we were going to have to fix it. So, we were able to keep an eye on it. So, for sure, I'd say after 50, real good idea to get it checked regularly, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just to confirm, Dr. Masika Zaitan, when we are referring to getting checked, what does this mean for a general audience member?
So the first step is, as we mentioned, is auscultation for diagnosis of murmur. And if there is any abnormality, the patient should be referred for having an ultrasound of the heart. And the threshold for doing so should be relatively low, especially when patients are above 60 or 65 years. We can discuss about the threshold. So, auscultation first, and in case of any doubt, echocardiogram.
Okay. And just to open the floor for any final words, any experiences, stories.
If anybody listening is curious for more information, you can visit Heart Valve Voice. They have lots of resources in terms of heart valve disease. You can check out the hashtag Listen to Your Heart on social media. We have lots of digital campaigns, and also the National Post has printed an article as well online and as a hard copy version.
Also, the Ottawa Heart Institute have online videos describing every procedure in great detail. It was a wealth of knowledge, and it was a trusted source that I went to when I was diagnosed. That Google can tell you lots of stuff that ain't correct, but you trust the Heart Institute for sure.
Thank you. So, as a small word of conclusion, I would like to highlight three important points that are critical for the management of patients with valvular heart disease. First is as a diagnosis, which is based on screening, auscultation, and recognition of symptoms. Once you have diagnosed a patient with valvular heart disease, it's very important to have a careful follow-up and to perform a timely intervention to avoid irreversible consequences on the heart. And when the time comes for an intervention, it has to be performed in a heart center of excellence. And if we succeed in this task, we will markedly improve the health and the care of management, the management of patients with valvular heart disease, and improve the outcome of patients with this kind of disease in Canada.
Thank you all for sharing your experiences and your stories with us today. It was definitely very enlightening to learn from all of your diagnosis stories. And on behalf of our entire radio team and our radio director, Dr. Emilio Alacran, thank you to our panelists and everyone for tuning in today. We hope this episode brings to awareness the importance of monitoring your own health and inspires you to continue to stay heart healthy. And we hope to see everyone next week on Wednesday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.